Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, how's everybody?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Are you excited to be here in church on a Sunday morning?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Hey, you better be excited to be in church any day, right?
We need to
get closer to Jesus each and every day, don't we? Hey, y'all know we got some good stuff going on, don't we? Amen. Hey, your title today is this: Having Faith in the Storm, Embracing God's Grace with Open Hearts. Having faith in the storm, embracing God's grace with open hearts. I think God has a good message for us today and a nice little blessing for us. We'll go ahead and do the two scriptures first. First one is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. And the second set of scripture will be Book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35 through 41. And NIV version on both sides, starting with 2 Corinthians 6, 1, 13, says this: Are God's co-workers, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Paul's hardships. But we put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. I get that word right. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the God of power, or power of God, sorry about that. And in the God, and truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand, and in the left, though through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on. Beaten and not yet killed. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Open wide your hearts also. And then the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 says this, NIV. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping in the cushion. The disciples woke him, said to him, "Teacher, teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Quiet, be still. And what happened? Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I thank you as always, Lord, for allowing your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not Ronnie's today, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message, Lord, and the scripture that you've given us for today, Lord. Lord, may we end up today with a newfound blessing, Lord. Lord, and newfound favor in our lives, Lord. Lord, may we take what you give us today, Lord, and build with it, Lord, to the kingdom that you call us to each and every day, Lord, until we come home to your heavenly presence, Jesus. Lord, we ask you just to be with us in the rest of the service. In your name I pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, think about that, guys. 2 Corinthians 6:1-13. You got a key verse in there. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about brothers and sisters. We're going to talk about Christ. Amen. I like talking about Christ. I don't know. If you go to a church and they're not talking about Christ, you should probably leave. Amen. Because you're in the place where Satan's dwelling. Amen. But we're going to talk about it today. Today we're going to delve into the words of the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. Specifically those verses in chapter 6, verse 1-13. This passage itself is a powerful reminder of our role as co-workers with God and the urgency of embracing His grace in our lives. It challenges each one of us to reflect on our response to God's grace and to live with open hearts, fully and totally committed to His calling. Amen. Because through these scriptures, we have the urgency of grace, of God's grace. Paul begins by urging the Corinthians not to receive God's grace in vain, right? He quotes Isaiah, emphasizing the immediacy of God's favor. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen? This statement itself highlights the urgency of responding to God's grace. Grace is not something to be taken lightly, is it? Or procrastinated upon. Amen? It is a gift itself that demands a response. We either accept it or we don't. Amen? And in tune, we either accept it in heaven, or if we don't, we stay here in hell. Amen? But it demands a response. It's not just something that can be given and just let away and go. Amen? As Christians, we must examine each one of our lives to ensure that we're not receiving God's grace in vain. Are we living in a way that reflects gratitude? Are we living in a way that reflects transformation? Are we sharing this grace that God gives us with others? Or are we trying to hoard it with ourselves? Are we recognizing the urgency of the gospel message? The timelessness that we have to get the message out, that it has to be shared with all of our family, our friends, and loved ones. Hey, guess what? That means even people we don't like don't. We got to share it with everybody. Amen? The second thing we can look at in these verses is we're living as God's servants. Each one of us are living as God's servants. Amen? Paul outlines the marks of a true servant of God. He speaks of enduring hardships, displaying purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, and love, don't he? Despite the challenges and suffering, Paul and his companions remain steadfast, don't they? Showing that their ministry is truly genuine. Now, you had challenges in this, didn't we? We're going to have challenges, just like they did back then, amen? Paul mentions, remember, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. These adversities, I'll get that word out, these adversities are part of the Christian journey. Amen? They're going to be part of our journey. Amen? Nowhere in the Bible, again, does it tell us we're going to have a perfect life once we accept God until we get to heaven. Does it? But there is part of our Christian journey. However, they should not and do not define us. Our response to them, our response to those hardships is what defines us. Amen? We can also see character in there. The qualities of a servant of God are highlighted. Purity, understanding, patience, kindness, sincere love, and truthful speech. These virtues are the evidence of God's grace at work in each one of us. Amen? We can also see the contrast. Paul speaks of the paradoxes of the Christian life. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, amen, yet possessing everything. These contrasts illustrate the depth of our Christian experience. Amen. We're called to live as servants of God, enduring challenges with grace and reflecting Christ-like virtues in every situation that we encounter. Our lives should be a testimony to the transformative power of God's grace. Even when we might be going through some hardships, even amongst difficulties. Amen. The third thing is these verses do is open hearts and unrestricted affections. Paul expresses his deep affections for the Corinthians, lamenting that their hearts have been restricted. He urges them to open wide their hearts in return. Unconstricted. Amen. Unrestricted. And we see, through in this, we see Paul's affection. Paul's words are filled with love and longing for a mutual open-hearted relationship with the Corinthians. He desires a genuine connection, free from any restrictions and reservations. You also see a call for openness. Paul's plea is for the Corinthians to remove any barriers that prevent them from fully embracing him and the message of the gospel. And through that, we're encouraged to open our hearts wide to God, to one another, and even to the world. Amen. And in doing so, we allow God's love to flow through each one of us, breaking down any barriers and fostering authentic relationships. As we reflect on 2 Corinthians 6, 1-13, let us remember the urgency of God's grace and the call to live as His faithful servants. Let us endure hardships with perseverance, embody Christ-like virtues, and open our hearts wide to God and to each other. Now is the time for God's favor to roll through. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. May we not receive God's grace in vain, but respond with open hearts, ready to serve and to love as He called us to. In the second part of that scripture, Mark 4, 35-41, we're talking today on that. We're going to delve into it a little bit. It speaks profoundly to the human experience and our relationship with God. In those verses, we witness a dramatic event, don't we? That reveals not only the true power of Jesus, but it also the nature of faith and fear. The story of Jesus calming the storm is a powerful reminder for each one of us that in the midst of life's most terrifying storms, each one of our faith in Jesus can bring us peace. We got to realize that there was a reality of storms. The first point we need to acknowledge is the reality of the storms in our lives. The disciples were experienced fishermen, weren't they? Accustomed to the Sea of Galilee and the sudden storms. Yet this particular storm itself terrified them. You would think it would be old hat out of them, wouldn't it? But it terrified them. It shows us that no matter how experienced or prepared each one of us might think that we are, life can still throw storms at us and shake us at our core. These storms can take many forms. Financial crisis, health problems, relationship issues, and even spiritual doubts. Amen? What storms are you facing today? Like the disciples, we often feel overwhelmed, don't we? Fearing that we might drown in our own troubles. This passage also shows where Jesus is in the midst of the storm. While striking, what is striking in the passage is his position during the storm. Where was it? Y'all remember where he was? He was rowing the boat, wasn't he? No, he wasn't rowing the boat. Come on now. Where was he? He was snoozing. He was snoozing in the stern. Asleep. Not just laying there with his head tilted down, right? He's on a cushion. He's gone, in other words. He's sleeping. He didn't have a word in the world. Well, you know why? Because he's Jesus. Amen. This image is both comforting and perplexing for each one of us, isn't it? Jesus' calmness in the face of chaos signifies his divine authority and peace. Yet it also raises a question that the disciples voiced, didn't they? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? How often have we felt abandoned in our struggles, wondering if God was asleep to our plight? But Jesus' sleep was not a sign of indifference, was it? It was an opportunity for the disciples himself to exercise their faith. And it reminds each one of us that even when God seems silent, amen, he is present. He is sovereign over every one of our situations. The scripture also tells us about the power of Jesus. When Jesus awoke, he rebuked the wind, didn't he? He commanded the waves to be still. And when? It didn't take no 20 minutes, did it? It didn't half day take. It was immediate. Instantly, there was calm. This miracle demonstrates Jesus' absolute power over nature, affirming his divinity, doesn't it? The disciples were left in awe, asking, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. In our lives, we must remember that Jesus has the power to calm any storm that we're going through. His authority extends over every aspect of creation and every situation that each one of us will face. When we call upon him, he is able to bring peace, isn't he? He's able to bring resolution that surpasses all of our understandings. Amen. It also talks about the faith over fear in the scriptures. After calming the storm, Jesus asked the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? That question cuts to the heart of our spiritual journey, don't it? Do you still have no faith? How about you today? It cuts to the heart of our spiritual journey. Fear is a natural or human response to danger, isn't it? But Jesus calls each one of us to a higher response. Instead of fear, we have to have faith. Faith over fear. Amen? Faith is not the absence of fear, but it's a decision for us to trust God in the midst of fear. It is believing that Jesus is with us, even when he seems silent in our lives, and that he is capable of delivering each one of us. Our faith grows stronger when we recognize Jesus' presence and power in our lives. The story of Jesus calming the storm is a call to deepen each one of our faith. It reassures us that no one storm is too great for Jesus to handle. When we face the storms of our lives, we can trust that Jesus is with us. And His power is sufficient to bring peace and calm, even in the uttermost chaos. Amen. Let us take comfort in knowing that our Savior is not distant from us, is He? Or indifferent to us. But is always present, always ready to calm the storms that we face. May we respond to life's challenges not with fear, amen, but with faith. Knowing that the one who commands the winds, knowing that the one who commands the winds and the waves is our Lord and our protector. As we go to close, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word that reminds us of Your power, of Your presence in our lives. Help us trust You in the midst of our storms. Increase our faith and give us faith, or give us peace, knowing that You are in control. May we always turn to You in our time of need. And may we find comfort in Your unending love and Your grace and Your mercy. Father, we thank You for Your abundant grace and mercy. Help us to respond to Your grace with urgency and sincerity. Equip us to endure hardships and to reflect Your love and truth in every aspect of our lives. Open our hearts wide open to You and to one another, breaking down any barriers that may hinder our relationships. May we live as Your faithful servants, bringing glory to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.